I was looking in here. Most of these songs are from for people that already are saved. One of the ones that is an old one. If we sing number 137. Rock of Ages, cleft for sin, grace has hid us safe within. I remember seeing a war. We didn't have a TV when we grew up. We still don't have a TV. But we were down at the department store, and they were trying to sell TVs, and they had a movie on that was called PT-109. And it was a true story of World War II, and there was a the enemies were trying to get the Americans, and the Americans were trying to get away, and they hit the PT boat, and they one of the guys on the boat, his name was John F. Kennedy, and he was trying to escape because the Japanese were looking for him, and so they put him in this canoe with all these palm branches, and he was underneath the palm branches, and somehow these people in the islands had learned a song, and they were singing the song and waving at people as they went by, hiding this man underneath. And do you know what the song they were singing was? Do you know what this song is? What's it called? Rock of Ages. It was where the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed are of sin the double cure, cleansing from its guilt and power. I believe that those were Christian natives in those islands that knew the Lord, and John F. Kennedy was being saved by them from losing his life. But I don't know if he trusted in the Lord Jesus as his Savior. But those, I just listening to that movie, they were trying to make it as real as possible. It really spoke to me. I said, I know that song. And one of the verses, if I close my eyes in death, as I draw this fleeting breath, if I close my eyes in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, sit with thee upon the throne, are of sin the double cure, cleansing from
sin and power.
Sin and power. I believe that's it. But let's sing this one, because this one is talking about people being saved.
Guilt and power.
Rock of Ages, cleft for sin, grace has hid us safe within. Where the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed are of sin the double cure, cleansing from its guilt and power. Not the labor of our hands could fulfill the law's demands, could our zeal no rest find, no, could our tears forever flow. Not for sin could e'er atone, but thy blood and thine alone, bound by thee before
I'd like to read a few verses tonight. And we're going to start with one that we all know. And I'm going to try and make it simple enough. We've all heard the gospel before, or most of us have. Why do we tell the good news that Christ died on the cross? Why do we do that? This song said, nothing but something. I should say, if we have a lot of zeal, if we say we just cry a lot because of our sins, does that take care of them? No. Why did the Lord Jesus come into the world? It's something about the Lord Jesus. Why did he come into the world?
Save sinners.
Christ Jesus came into the world. This is a faithful saying and worthy of everybody to receive, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul said that. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is what actually pays for sins. Do you know that when the Lord Jesus went to came into the world, do you remember what the angel said? What did the angel say right when he came right into the world?
Glory to God in the highest.
Glory to God in the highest. It was glory going to God, but something on earth. Peace on earth. Good will towards men. It's the will of God towards men and women that Jesus came into the world. Does any one of you know what Jesus means? You should call his name Jesus, for he, what?
Shall save his people.
Shall save his people from their sins. Jesus means Savior. That's what he was named. The Savior of the world. Why do people need a Savior? Why do people need someone to save them?
Because they can't save themselves.
You can't save themselves. Today we had that verse about the wages of sin is death, and the gift, but the gift of God is what?
Is eternal life.
Is eternal life. How? Through what?
The
gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know God is fair? He's more than fair. Do you know if somebody works for something, is it fair not to pay them? It's not fair if they work all day and you said they would get paid. Do you know the Lord Jesus says, if you do sins, you get paid for them. And the wages of sin is?
Death.
Death. And once you've worked for it, it's not fair if you don't, if God doesn't pay. And that is the problem. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why Jesus came, because he didn't want people to pay for their sins in hell with death. So I'm going to read a verse. It's sort of a strange one. In we quoted 1 Timothy 1:15. We're going to go to Thessalonians. Do you know where Thessalonians is? Just before Timothy, chapter 5. Verse 23, This is actually written to people that had turned to God from idols. This happened to be Europeans, some of the first Europeans in Europe, in the country called Greece today, that accepted the Lord. And Paul only had about a week preaching to them, and then he had to leave, and then he wrote this letter to them, the letter to the Thessalonians. Then he wrote another letter. But this one says, verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." In other words, God that came to give us peace through the Lord Jesus is going to set us apart. Sanctifying is like when you wash the dishes. You take the dirty ones, you wash them, and then do you put them back with the dirty ones? Or do you put them with the clean ones? You sanctify them. You put them with a different part so they don't get dirty again. Once somebody is saved, they're always saved. They're sanctified. And so he's saying, Paul is ending this letter by saying, "And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." When we start talking about sins, can people see sins in the hearts of other people? Can you see sins in the hearts of other people? You can't. Remember the guy that was laying on this bed and he couldn't get up, and his four friends took him and they took him over to the house, and they opened up the roof, and while there was too much crowds for him to come in the door, so they let him down through the roof. And as he's coming down, the Lord just looked up. He looked at him and he says, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." Well, what was his problem? Why was he in the bed? He couldn't walk. But the Lord Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven you." And what did the people keep saying around among the people? They said, "Who is this?" There's only one way to get rid of sins. What did the people say in their minds? Who is this that forgives sins? Only
God can forgive sins.
Only God can forgive sins. God loved the world, and he is concerned about these sins on the inside. And it talks about people are made of three things here. What are we made of in that verse?
Body, soul, and spirit.
Body, soul, and spirit. Do you know, most people talk about the body, soul, and spirit because it almost seems like the body is the most important. But which part is the most important? What is the order in the Bible?
The spirit.
The spirit, soul, and body. I'm glad she mentioned spirit. That's the one that's first written here. And it is, the Bible says it's really hard to tell the difference between when your spirit and your soul leave your body. They go together. Your body stays here, and your spirit and soul stick together. And your spirit is the part that answers to God. And your soul is the personality that other people know that you like ice cream and you like to have excitement and things. That's your soul. That's, you might say, the real you that looks out of your eye, eyeballs, you know, when you see somebody, they smile, and but it's really the real you inside that's making your body move. And that's the part that really matters. Where is your soul and your spirit going to spend eternity? It's not the labor of our hands to do something to our body. We could not pay for our own sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but what? The blood of Jesus. That is the verse in the Bible. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleans us from all sins. Now, I'd like to read a few verses. We're going to go to the Ephesians. Do you know who the Ephesians were? They weren't Europeans. They were called Asians. It is everything to the east of the Mediterranean is Asia, and everything to the west of the Mediterranean is Europe. And so Ephesus is on one side of the, just above Israel, and in Turkey, and we just read the Thessalonians, they were across the Mediterranean. And this is what they were, the Ephesians were like the others were idol worshippers. They didn't believe in God. But here in Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read a few verses. Can I have some help? We're going to read Ephesians 1, 7, and then somebody else can read 13. Who would like to read 7? Okay, Jonathan?
In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace.
Do you know forgiveness of sins through his blood, according to the riches of his grace? God has sent the Lord Jesus. I should just remind us. When Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, he went to the cross, and there in those hours of darkness, God laid on him, on the Lord Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And if we, it says, and now whosoever believeth in him, that he died on the cross for your sins, that is how to be saved. That is how to apply it. There were two people crucified with the Lord Jesus. Where did they go when they died?
One went to heaven.
One went to heaven, and one went to hell. Well, what made the difference? The one said, don't you fear God? Seeing we are in the same condemnation, we've been condemned just like Jesus. But this man has done nothing amiss. He hasn't done anything wrong. Pilate said he didn't do anything wrong. His wife said he didn't do anything wrong. The soldier at the bottom of the cross said this was a righteous man. Everyone knew that the Lord Jesus didn't do anything wrong. But one said, Lord, I believe you are the Son of God. Would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? I believe. What did the Lord say to him? Do you remember?
You'll be in heaven today with me.
Yes, today you'll be with me in a word for heaven that is very...
Paradise.
Paradise. That was sort of like what we imagine the Garden of Eden was like. No sin. Enjoyment for the eyes, enjoyment for the soul, enjoyment all the way around. With Christ. When the Lord comes back, he's saying, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is where heaven is. That is where forgiveness of sins ends you up, that you can be in God's own presence without sin. That's why it says, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And read another verse. Verse 13. Who would like to read verse 13? Yes.
In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were filled with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Holy Spirit of promise. Do you know? Faith comes by hearing. And this verse says, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. People hear the truth of what God, the message that God has written of how to be saved. It says the gospel, the good news of your salvation to be saved. In whom also after you believed, as soon as somebody believes, what does this verse say happens? Ye were sealed with the Holy
Spirit.
The Holy Spirit of promise. Do you know whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, and part of that everlasting life comes with God's Holy Spirit, a new nature to live inside of you and me. Do you have it? If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you'll say, I didn't want to sin, but I just can't help it. There's something inside me that just wants to do it. And I wasn't going to do it, but then I just did it. That's our old nature. And you only have one old nature. But if you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, John 14 tells us the same night that Jesus was betrayed, he told people, if I go, I will send the Holy Spirit, which will be with you and live inside you. And he'll lead you to all truth. He'll help you to remember the truth. And he'll be power in your life to resist. And that is why when somebody accepts the Lord as their Savior and they are baptized and they say, I would like to live for the Lord Jesus now, they can, because they have the Spirit of God that only wants to please God. It's part of our everlasting life. It's part of our new life. Let's read from verse 7. chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. Can I have you read 1, 2, 3, and then you skip because you already read 4, 5, 6. Do you read? No. We're going to have you read 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay? Read from... This is Ephesians 2, 1 to 10.
And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins.
Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience,
among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us,
even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved.
And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus.
In the back row. 8.
For by grace, when you came through faith, deny yourself, and you give to God.
Not of works. For not of works, lest any man should boast.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto the works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in.
We're not going to spend much time on this. It's pretty self-explanatory. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We all know we cannot get away from it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But inside, God quickens us. He puts a little thing inside our mind. He puts it in other people that says, agree with God. You know you've done wrong. You know you need to be forgiven. You know you can't get rid of your sins by yourself. Agree with God. And it tells that the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, that works in children of disobedience, encouraging sin. And we've all, there's no difference, all have sinned. We've all had, in verse 3, we've all had the flesh in us. We've all needed to be saved. There's no difference. All have sinned. And we were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. That means we were mad, even as others, but God. That's the good news. God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. That's what we had this morning as we remembered the Lord in his death. The Father loved us. The Son loved us. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, and the Lord Jesus says, here am I, send me, I'll go, I'll pay. Like that servant that said, I will not go out free. I love my wife. I love my children. I want them with me in heaven. Even when we were dead in sins, he's quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. That in the ages to come, what's going to happen? He might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. When are the ages to come? When is that? What is it talking about in the ages to come? What does that mean?
Heaven?
Heaven. It means when time just keeps going on and on and on. What's going to be happening? Eternity. He's going to be showing us the riches of his kindness. But you know, he doesn't force it on people. He's offering the gift. Verse 8, for by grace or undeserved kindness you're saved through faith. That's trusting him. And that faith isn't of yourself. The faith is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. No one can say, I'm so good, I saw a good deal, and I'm better than you because I recognized a better deal. No. We recognize God moved in me. God told me. He said, I need to be saved. He said, receive me as your Savior, and we can be saved. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. For God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. After we're saved, we find that God has a plan for our lives. To do good works, why? It's one way to thank God, and it's one way that others can hear and be saved. We're going to read one little story and then read what Jude had to say about people. Psalms 107. There's about four or five stories here, but we're just going to take one of them. Psalms 107, and I think it's 7, the one I'm going to pick is 17 to 17. Fools, because of their transgression means they went against what they knew was right, and because of their iniquities are afflicted. They got what they reap. They reap what they sowed. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distress. Do you know that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord might be saved, or shall be saved? Shall be saved. He sent his word. Who sent his word? God sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. When you are saved, when you don't have to pay for your own sins, you're not going to hell. You should feel so relieved to be able to tell others. Now, I'm going to read, in closing, Jude, the last verses of Jude. Some people say that Jude might have been the other Judas of the disciples. Do you know there were two Judases that were disciples? One was a true disciple, and the other was just faking it. And if you read Jude, it says, I wanted to talk about their common salvation, but I need to warn you that there are people that they're like clouds without any rain. It looks like, oh, we're finally going to get a shower to do the crops, and then there's nothing there. It's like a bunch of smoke and no fire. It's just, you're waiting for something, and it's not there. And some people say, oh, yeah, I know the Lord. But no, I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to go to a meeting. I don't want to obey my parents. Well, how does that work? By their fruits you shall know them. And sooner or later, when somebody believes in the Lord, they're going to be praising the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to us. This is for Christians. I have four more. Help me read Jude 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25. Five more people. Would you girls like to read? We're going to go around this way, and you just say pass if you don't want to. Adults can read too. We're going to have you read Verse 21.
Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
And of some have compassion, making a difference.
And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, having even the garment spotted by the flesh.
Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy.
So the only way is to honor our Savior's glory and majesty, dominion, and power, now and ever.
Amen. Looking for the mercy, keep yourselves in the love of God. God loves the world, even those that are not acting lovable. He, while we were yet sinners, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly people, people that didn't even want God. Keep ourselves in the love of God, and some, having compassion, making a difference. Do you care? You know, you can tell people you care about them. And that's what draws them to the Lord. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. It's the love of God that pulls us to Him. But the Lord Jesus warned about the fire of hell coming on people. And he said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Don't put it off. And now for the Christians, verse 24. Jude couldn't hold it back. To him that's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless with confidence. No spot, no stain before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. All will be passed away. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. We can be enjoying that even now. To the only wise God, that's the Father, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, forever and ever. What did I forget? What part did I skip?
Both now.
Both now and forever and ever. We're going to be praising Him so much there. We can start it here and now. Is there... Can we sing that one? Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Do some of the children not know that song? Raise your hand if you've never heard that song before. So let's find the verse and let's try it once more. It's a verse. Does anyone know which verse it is? Now unto the King eternal. In 1 Timothy, right? Let's see if we can find that verse. 1 Timothy 1 and 17. We should sing it once more. So,
well, can we sing it three times more? Sure. Once all together, and then half the room hold off. And the
it is around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who remembers? Does anyone? Do you know the round, Dan, where the second part starts in? It's been a while since I sang it as a round. I think it's right after the only wise God.
I think it's after invisible.
That's what I was.
Okay. I think it's after the invisible. Yeah. Where is it? So what is the verse again?
17.
First Timothy 1:17.
Okay. We're all going to sing it together, and then we'll have the first one start, and we're going to start at the invisible part, okay. Right?
So this half, we'll okay. Do the second part.
Okay.
Everyone.
Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only one. honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, now unto the King eternal, immortal, glory forever and ever.
The only wise God,
the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
The honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
I think you can do it
three ways, yeah.
You did a good job, everyone.
That was nice.
We have a great Lord, a great salvation. Should we pray and then we can keep on singing if you want? Our loving God and our Father, we give thanks for a wonderful plan to save our souls and our spirits. Before this body dies, before the wages of sin takes us down to the punishment. Lord Jesus, we thank you that thou hast come and offer thyself a sacrifice to God, holy, acceptable to God, a perfect sacrifice. And now thou, Lord Jesus, dost stand and offer eternal life to whoever would receive it. O Lord, we do pray for those that aren't sure. We thank thee for thy Holy Spirit continuing to work, and we do pray that we would have compassion on people and tell them, that we would tell others, save with fear, pulling them from the fire. Lord, we do pray that we would trust and obey and let thy Holy Spirit do the works of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, that it would shine out in good works in our lives. We do pray that we would be kind to our brethren, that we would be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as our Lord, for Christ, our God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Help us in the days to come. And again, help us to go on our way rejoicing in this great salvation. To thee be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.